Well, welcome everybody to the house of God. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to look at Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. I thought we'd do a timely message. And since everybody was talking about COVID-19, and we need to have a word in season. You know what the word in season means? You're going to get exactly what you need at the right time. Amen. So I believe this is a timely message. I was studying some other stuff, but also I just felt led to share this part of the word tonight. Called a perfectly safe place. A perfectly safe place. 2 Timothy 3:1. I'm reading the King James Version. I'm not sure who was back there. Okay. I've got it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. By the way, just to want to, you know, remind you about our upcoming conference for Spirit Life Television Ministry. And we have 5 days reserved for meetings every night, every day. We have a feast on Saturday, meet and greet on a Friday night, where we'll have a chance after the service to eat some snacks or whatever they're going to serve that night, and meet with each other and meet new friends, meet new family you didn't meet before. And then Saturday morning we have a luncheon. We have a leadership luncheon. I think there's going to be a sign up for that to come to that leadership session. And then we have, what else we got going? Saturday afternoon we have a meal together. We're going to have a traditional meal together. So I promise you it's going to be mighty tasty. I can't wait. So get ready for that. Sign up for it. Mark your calendars and get ready. We're going to have a great, great time. And our theme this year is going to be called Reconciled. We're reconciled to God. So, perfectly safe place, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading the King James Version. Paul writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the people there, or Timothy, writing to Timothy and the people there. Timothy was a pastor, leader. And how many people know that leaders need to have information? And you need to have strength to lead people. And this time, in the time of the season, we need people who actually are strong in their leadership, not people who are fearful. And we need to have people who could have a backbone. So Paul, writing to Timothy, said this: "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." 2 Timothy 3:1. The word perilous means dangerous times, dangerous, difficult, tough. How many people would venture to say that the times are tough in different ways? There's so many tough times. We have, you know, in our own city, we have lack of housing, we have unemployment. Those are seemingly normal for people to put up with now. They just say, oh, you know, everybody, you know, we don't have any work here. And people are having problems with addictions. There's a big problem with addictions. People in from many facets of life. We have criminal activity going on in our city. That's just to mention a few. And that there's sickness and disease that are infecting people and different things. And we have bed bugs. I hope you didn't bring any with you today. Keep them at home. So there's different things that's happening. There's mighty different things. So there's going to be, you know, the Bible says here, Paul telling the people, there's going to be last days. In the last days, we are in the last days. If that was in the last days, these are the last days. This is even closer to the last days. The very last of the last days. And if we read the signs of the times, you know, some people are not discerning. They don't understand. They just kind of like are in a stupor. They're drunk all the time. They don't understand. They don't have any awareness at all of what's going on around them. That's why the Bible talks about being sober. Keep sober. Be sober-minded. Be alert. And so these are difficult. It's a difficult time, difficult hour, politically, socially. There's lots of stuff that's going on that we want to solve, and people are having a difficult time. So by the Holy Spirit, Paul is being inspired to write this letter to a young man by the name of Timothy, who was a leader, a pastor of a church. And he wanted to get that message out to them, that it's going to be, by the Holy Spirit, a difficult time, difficult season. Over in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, and the psalmist says, I will both lay me down in peace. Well, it's nice to go to sleep in peace. Lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. God will get you down in bed in peace. There are some people that can't sleep. I look at my Facebook sometime, I see people say, I can't sleep. Either you ate too much or something, naturally you could just remedy yourself. Stop eating cheese at night. Get too much gas or something. I'm not sure what's going on. You're floating, bloating. So you can remedy different things. My doctor says don't drink so much coffee at night. Don't drink a lot of water because you go to the bathroom like 15 times a night. That's what happens when you get older, they say. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but for some folks. But people can't sleep for various reasons, and kids can't sleep. I heard kids are just so, their mind's racing, and they have sleeping with their phone, and every time the phone buzzes, they just jump up, see who's on. How many of you have that problem? Give me your cell phone. So there's people that are just, they have no rest. They don't have any peace in their lives. There's a price for peace. It doesn't come just because you say, I want it now. Huh? You can't have a drive-through and say, I want some peace. Okay, here's some. I wish you could do that, but there's no peace. There's a price for peace. And you bought a whole lot of difficulty. And you got a lot of turmoil because you paid for it all. When I was in AA, they said to me, you know, hey, if you don't want this, we can just refund you right now. You go back out there, try it again. If you're not convinced you're an addict, go out and try it again. See if you come back. If you can come back, well, you might make it. Maybe you might not. But if you're not convinced, go ahead and try it again. But being a young person, smart aleck, and think I could try it, I'll try it again. Same result. But so there's people that have no peace. There's all kinds of stuff going on in them. And so it says that God will give you sleep. There's different scriptures you can look for that God will give you sleep. And he said, the Lord only makes me dwell safely. We can be safe with God. And that's what we need in this time of difficulty. We're running in a difficult hour right now. Different things are going on. So we're living in very dangerous times in these last days. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, was warning us that in these last days, there'll be very difficult times ahead for all of us. If you don't read that, read the Bible. It's not going to get any better. So something has to be adjusted in yourself in order for you for that not to affect you. It doesn't happen overnight just because you read a few scriptures, because you've been through a few meetings and you know these scriptures. It has to be in you. And so, as long as we're in this world, we're going to continue to encounter very difficult times. Jesus said we would, and that no matter what may occur, we can have his protection, we can have his peace. Jesus said, no matter what happens, you can have his peace, and you will have protection. There is a price for peace. There is a price for safety. And you just can't just live any way you want and expect that to happen to you. There's provisions, but there's also stipulations for you to have them. There's conditions for everything you get from God. Like you have conditions in your home and your relationship. There's conditions that you have for one another. You expect certain things from each other. Well, God has said something. He set up this relationship with us. He has his part. We have our part to play. How many people can understand what I'm talking about? And so in John chapter 16, 33, Jesus talking to his disciples before he was leaving this earth. And from the Amplified Bible, he said this. I'm reading this Amplified Classical Edition. He said in here, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for perfect peace in the time of difficulty. People want to have perfect peace. And confidence, in this world, you'll have tribulation. What don't you understand about this verse of Scripture? So he says you'll have trouble. There's going to be tribulation. That word tribulation means many things. Trials, difficulties, hard times. He says you'll have tribulation. Trials, distress, frustration. You know, there's people that are frustrated and they're stressed out today. Stressed out, and they don't know what to do with themselves. But notice this, Jesus said, but. I like that word, you know. He said, but. If Jesus says but, then you better pay attention. You know. But if you and I say but, it don't mean too much. When God says but, you're going to have a lot of trouble out here. But let me tell you something. He's offering something. He says, look at this. He says, but be of good cheer. So I always look at the crowd and I say, so what does good cheer look like? Turn to your neighbor and show them what does good cheer look like. Eh? Eh? Sure, that's what it looks like. Yeah? Smile. If you don't have any teeth, just smile anyway. If you got a few missing, you know. Somebody says, is that all your teeth? Yep, I paid for every one of them. They're mine. Is that your real teeth? Well, yeah, they're my real teeth. So he said, you'll have be of good courage. He's telling you be of good courage even in this troubled time. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world and I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. So when he's talking about the world, he's talking about the system in which we live in. We live in a system that's ruled by satanic powers or evil forces. If you don't believe me, check your New Testament. Jesus said, he calls the devil the prince of this world. Over in the Gospel of John, he says the prince of this world. He's the prince, the ruling prince. The Bible talks about the prince and powers of the air in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul calls them the god of this world. Little g, god of this world. He's doing things. He's ruling people. Sometimes we get mad at people, but you have to understand there's a power working behind someone to influence them to do certain things or to say things to you. Just to tick you off. Just to get you off track. You know, so there's something there. There are evil powers. You can't pretend they're not there because they're there. And so Jesus said, I want you to be confident that I've deprived these satanic powers, these evil powers, to hurt you. I want you to see something over here. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let me just look at this for a second, because this is another scripture I believe that will inform you a little bit further. And in the New Testament, the letters to the church were called the epistles, the letters written to the church. And they inform us about things about, you know, our lives. Tells us about who we are, what we have, what we can do. Tells us these different things. So let's go to the King James. Oh, let's look at the King James first, and we'll go to the Amplified. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. There it is. Here's Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power." The word power, there's two words to notice. The word is power. "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." That's all demonic forces he's describing. Different kinds of devils and demons. And over all, notice this, and over all, how much is all? He said, over all, notice the second word, power of the enemy. So there's two Greek words, but there's a distinction between both of them. The first one is a Greek word, I believe, is exousia. It means authority. God says, "I'm going to give you authority." Sometimes you go in a place, you say, "I want to know who's the boss here." If you're talking to a police officer, "I want to talk to your supervisor." So you always say, when you go to someone's house, "Is your mom home? Is your father home?" So you want somebody to talk to somebody with power. Or if you're going to take something home, they said, "No, you can't bring that back. I want to take this item back." "Okay, so I want to see your supervisor." So the supervisor has more authority than the person that doesn't want to take your stuff back that you bought. So he says, "I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you the power, the authority to tread on, to step on, to take your place over all these powers." And over all the power, that word is dunamis. The second one is dunamis, which means ability, or dynamite ability, or the ability. The second word is ability over the enemy. In other words, anything the enemy has, the Lord is not surprised. And you come to God, you pray, you ask God, Lord, this is happening, that's happening. And Jesus doesn't go, "Ooh, I never thought about that before. What are we going to do? Maybe we should pray." No. God already knows what's going to happen. He's God Almighty. Like, we're finite beings. So he said, "I'm going to give you this power, this ability over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's referring to those powers that's trying to get a hold of you and try to get into your life. They want to come into your mind and influence you and take a hold of you by your mind and grab a hold of your soul and control you. Wake up at night doing this. No, that's not what we're talking about. Let's go to Amplified, classical edition. I love the classical. How many people like classical? We should have a nice, string instruments here and there. "So behold, I give you authority." Here's that word authority. "And power to trample upon serpents and scorpions." Notice this. "And physical and mental ability." How many people sometimes you think you're at your wit's end? Eh? You just had it, man. You just any more trouble, you're gonna lose it. You're gonna lose your mind. I've been there. Where you just said, "Man, this is it, man." God says, "I want to give you power that you can just have enough mental energy to go over this thing." Sometimes you're so exhausted from all the stress, but God says, "I want to give you physical energy to grab the devil by the tail." I mean, whatever, just to take authority, right? So over all the power, not just some of them, but over all the power of the enemy, whatever he's going to do, whatever he possesses, "and nothing shall by any means harm you." So we're living in dangerous times, and there is a devil. Did you get the stuff yet? Sorry about that. Somehow this is not sending. I'm going to try this. Oh, hallelujah. We'll get there. All right. Perfectly safe place. So where are you? Is that you? There. There's somebody walking around. Okay. Okay, so you're going to get it. Now, we have to know our Bible. We have to be students of God's Word. We have to be teachable people. We have to be people that are pliable to God. We just can't just do whatever you want to do and expect God to help you out. You just want God to help you when you need it. But otherwise, before that, you didn't want anything to do with God. Now that you're in detox, now that you're in a hospital all racked up and broken in pieces, now that your wife left you and nobody wants you around, all of a sudden you want God. And so I thought you said you can do this on your own. And then you find out you're going further and further down the road, lower to the lowest place. So Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Why? If you read that verse of scripture, you understand this. They rejected God. So these days people say, we don't want the Lord's Prayer in church or in school, I mean. We want to take out God in institutions. And so people are taking God out of a lot of places. In fact, we want to take God out of the dollar. It says, "In God we trust. Everybody else pays." In God we trust. Well, anyway, okay, some of you got it. So Paul said, "My people," or at least Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So we need to take responsibility in order to protect ourselves at all times. Watch what we're doing. Sometimes if you hang around the wrong crowd, you can get into trouble. I know people who are spending time in jail today because they were with someone who killed someone and they had to go to jail for a very long time. They got the same deal. Does anybody know people like that? Well, some of you haven't been around criminals like me. Some of you, friends, all your friends are criminal. You've known people like that. And so some people who didn't take responsibility, they hung around with people, got in the car when they shouldn't have gotten the right car, and now they're not here. They died with them. I've had friends, personal friends, who were with other friends who decided to get in the same car with them, and they're not here today. So we have to take responsibility to protect ourselves. We can't expect God to come and protect you when you're making decisions that are not right. So in the midst of danger, Paul did say that we can have in these dangerous times, we can have safety, we can have rest, we can sleep, and that we'd be protected. So here's Paul talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 to 28. Let me just read these scriptures. I'm reading the King James Version there. He's talking about his journey when God called him. In Acts, talks about in the book of Acts, God called him out into the ministry. He says, "I want you to come." But he said, I want you to come, but there are going to be difficult days ahead. He said, "I'm going to call you. You're going to suffer for my name's sake." And he suffered. If you read Paul's life, he had lots of persecution. People were trying to take him down, take him out. And, of course, not only the devil, but people there that hated him, they want to take him out now. He was on the other side. Now he came on the right side, with the Lord. And he said this. Notice over here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. "In journeys often in perils of water." The word perils means dangers. Dangers. "In journeys often in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen." Like sometimes your own friends can turn against you. Huh? Sometimes you think somebody's your friend, all of a sudden they turn their back on you. And you thought, "Hey man, I thought we're buddies. Give me back my cash. Where's my car?" So perils of by the heathen or people who don't know God. Perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. People say, "Well, I'm going to go in the wilderness. Too many bad people in town. And a bear eats them." Or he drowns. But there's trouble everywhere. There's something about being with God that you can be anywhere, He can help you. He says, in the wilderness and perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and in painfulness and watchings often, and in hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. He had a lot of trouble, this guy. Besides all those that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, I got all this kind of concern for this ministry. So Paul was in so many dangerous situations, but God was able to help him out. And when God calls you to do something, no matter how difficult it might be, you're in a safe place. No matter how hard, how difficult church might come and might be, you're in the best place you've ever been. Amen. You need to recognize that, because God, you know, he'll bring you into different situations. And you think, wow, how did I ever got here? I believe that God leads people. You and I are meeting for a reason. I'm here for a reason. You're here for a reason. It's not by accident that you just kind of stumble in here. I had one guy one time, you know, we were out on Secord Street and we were doing Bible school one night. He comes in, you know, door comes flying open. He comes in, you know, he's got a shirt on, and he's all wild on and everything else. And he was drunk. And the Lord sobered him up. I didn't think that was by accident. I had a cousin of mine. He didn't know me very personally. How many people know you have cousins you don't even know? Sometimes, you know, when I came to town, I found this beautiful First Nations woman in university. I said, I think I'll ask her for a date. Went for a date. My mom said, that's your cousin. I said, I love her. you don't know. I mean, you got a lot of cousins that you don't know. Amen. But it's a true story. So I didn't go for a date. Needless to say, there's no second date. Anyway, so there's people you don't know, you know. So, let's go on here. God's hand of protection was on Paul. When God calls you to do something, go somewhere. You know, I believe that if God brought you to this church, brought you to this city, I believe that God's hand of protection is on you, that you're going to survive no matter what. That God's going to bring you to a new place. And there's a reason why you're here. It's not an accident. Are you looking for a chair? These are the most expensive ones you're going to sit on there. Those are expensive ones. Okay, put it on your tab. Ushers, mark that down. Okay. That's okay. This fellow here, I was in university. I was his teacher in school. He followed me here. Yeah. Notice the Lord will deliver you from everything. If you got a sickness here, the Lord will deliver you. If you got an addiction, He'll deliver you. If you got a mental health, emotional health problems, He'll deliver you. If you got a guy following you, He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you, sure. Let's go over here, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10 and verse 11. Everybody say, God will deliver. So, you know, we said 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, perilous times shall come, difficult times, hard to deal with, stressful times will come in this life. So if you're stressed out, it's a normal situation. You're not going to die. They say, you know, I was reading, because I'm an educator, I have to research a lot of stuff when I teach at the college. I have to look at a lot of stuff and talk about stress management. He said, more people die of stress than any other thing in this world. Every other disease, even cancers, are attributed to stress management or the lack of thereof, causing people to have their body to break down. Because every time you're stressed out, your body is, you know, depleting itself or pushing, pumping yourself with that, that what do you call that, energy? Yeah? Whatever it is. Not endorphins. Endorphins are good. I love endorphins. I think I'm going to have some tonight. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 3. What if you could just go buy some endorphins, eh? How much are these things anyway? Oh, they're on sale today. Okay. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity or love, patience. How many people need some patience? Persecutions. You know, people get persecuted sometimes. Well, he did. He had a lot of persecutions. Afflictions, a lot of difficulties, which came unto me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Everywhere this man went, he had trouble. Now remember, God said, God called him and he had trouble. Like some of you think, just because you had trouble, it means you're in the wrong place. Sometimes you have trouble and all kinds of roadblocks is because you're in the right place. You're in exactly the right place. And sometimes people, they quit. I remember people, you know, they quit. They could get out of situations and they get born again. And he said, you know what? Ever since I gave my heart to Jesus, I've had so much trouble. Well, that was not true, because that's the first time they sobered up and they actually began to learn that they had actually had trouble. He just said he didn't pay attention to it before. So, you know, this guy went to every place he went, this Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. I don't care, some of you, you could just move anywhere in the city, Westport, live in the finest area of the city, wherever that is. They got more, you know, there's better housing in different places of the city. There's, you know, I mean, but there's still trouble. You can still have trouble. He said, what persecutions I endured, but notice this, but, everybody say, but. Out of all, the Lord delivered me. I mean, the Lord delivered him out of all the trouble he had, all the situations. Every situation he encountered, the Lord delivered him out of them all. And that's one thing that you know, you need to come to realize, God is a great deliverer. He'll deliver you from different things. In fact, he'll deliver you from junk that you've produced yourself. He'll get you out of it, if you're honest. Now, if you continue to go on that journey, you're going to continue to face trouble that you've made and created yourself. But God is faithful, and he's you know, compassionate, merciful. He'll get you out of it. You know, I've gotten to myself in a lot of trouble before in the past, but the Lord delivered me. Even today, when I make you know, mistakes, he's still delivering. But you know, your human side of you, you always have this negativity part of you that you're always grappling with, and that's the part we have to continue to renew our mind with. So the Lord will deliver you out of every situation, every danger, right now. He said he would keep you perfectly safe, even when you sleep, and give you a good rest. And that's what we read earlier. That you can count on the Lord. He's faithful. He'll do his part if you do your part. Go to Psalm 91, 1 and 2. We're ready to shut her down tonight. Better go to a hockey game. No, I'm just kidding. You know, when I say these stuff, like, please don't understand. I'm kidding you guys a lot of times. You know, so I have to talk about normal things because people think you're always on the high. Ooh, you know. So you have to joke with people sometime, talk to them about different things like eating chicken, whatever. Okay. So let's go to Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That word Most High is the word Shaddai. In other words, the Almighty. That's the word, the Almighty. You know, God is Almighty. Right? I said God is Almighty. So you need to chum up with him because he's almighty. Woo-hoo-hoo! Notice this. Let's read this again real slowly because some of you already, you mess up already. It's only three words and you just can't take it. Three scriptures, eh? You're getting drunk out of three scriptures. Oh, I can't take it anymore. When is the service over? Where's the door? He that dwelleth. Everybody said dwelleth. He didn't say he that visited. People just visit God once in a while, except to be his buddy. You know, you have to live with God every day. I said you have to live with God every day. Not just when you're in trouble. Now you're in detox again. I got an echo. He's doing a good job. I'm going to speak over here. Again. Oh, it seems to be gone away less a little bit. So he says that here, he that dwelleth in the secret place. So dwelling means, you know, you're going to be with God all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. You're going to live with God. You're going to take God in your car. You're going to take God to your bedroom. You're going to take God when you're watching television. You're going to take God to the bank, take him to the mall. When you go on holidays where nobody sees you, you're going to take God with you all the time. So sometimes people take a vacation. They take a vacation from God, and they party up while they're gone out of town and get into trouble. They say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No. You get in trouble. Huh? So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Everybody say secret place. So why did God call it a secret place? I mean, where is that place? You know, so people talk about a secret place of the Most High God. Like we always thought, you know, hey, listen, only the really, really spiritual people get there. Right? Maybe somebody real holy will get there. One day I might get there. Secret place of the Most High God. I don't know how to get in. I'm going to try to sneak in if I can get there. The secret place. Everybody say secret place. So this secret place, I mean, if you could just find it and get there, eh? you could be safe there, safety. Eh? So you can't just go visit there because you don't even know where it is. What? Said he that dwells in a secret place. So, you know, so you're going to be living there in a secret place and nobody can find you. The devil can't find you there in that secret place. That's why you're going to be protected. Because he doesn't know how to get there. Only those that are connected to God can get in there. So God has this place called a secret place for all of us. And when the devil comes looking for you, he can't find you. He doesn't know the address. He can't use, GPS. He doesn't know where you are. Because God is hiding you. He's covered you like with a canopy, and he can't see you. He can't find you. The Bible says when the children of Israel left, you know, Israel is a type of a Christian or believer. And when he took them out of Egypt, Egypt is a type of bondage, living in the land of the devil and evil and under the devil's power. God took them out of Egypt. It's a type of born-again experience. God takes you out of the dark kingdom, puts you into the kingdom of his dear son. And then you walk with God. You go into, they went through the the sea, the Red Sea. That's the type of baptism we go through. And we come out on the other end. Then we meet some giants over there. But it's a promise. There's a promised land. God says you can have those, the things there. So anyway, what was I going to say? About the secret place. Again, look at this. Okay, so he that dwells in a secret place of the Most High shall abide Abiding means you're going to be living there. Abide under the shadow. You're going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. So the secret place is those people of God. When you're with God, when you come to God, you're in that secret place, but you can't come out. If you come out and do your own thing, you're not going to have all the benefits. If you do your own thing, the rest of the scriptures there, that he talks about pestilence and all that and all this trouble, that can get on you because you come out of the secret place. That means that you need to be obedient to God and follow his plan for your life. You can't just do anything you want to do. The best thing to do is find what God wants you to do, and it's the happiest place you'll ever be. It's a good place. You're happy. It's the best place you would be. And sometimes people, you know, just say, I'm going to do this by myself. I want to do my own way. This is my life. I can spend it any way I want to. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that Jesus paid your ransom. And really, their life, when you come to God, is not really your own life. Of course, God will give it back to you, and he'll make it nice for you, and you'll enjoy your life. And he doesn't want you to not enjoy life. Notice he says in that verse, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. In other words, that you need to start acknowledging some things and start saying what you have in the, covenant. You need to say what belongs to you. You need to acknowledge what belongs to you and begin to believe God for that thing. A lot of stuff that we pray for, we don't have to pray for. Just claim, start claiming, start acting like it's yours. He says here, he is my refuge. He's my fortress. In him will I trust. So God, you need to say he's your refuge. He's your fortress. It's important to say who God is to you. It's important for you to say what God has done for you, what he will continue to do for you. So the secret place, in that place, you're under complete protection with nothing to fear. We need to live in that place. We need to be right in the center of the will of God. It's a great place where there's no evil. Nothing bad can happen in that place. It's when we get out from God's protection and just wander off and do our own thing and say, this is my own life, and then things start happening to us. In fact, in that verse of scripture I see in there, it says, no infectious diseases will get on me. And that's what we need to understand, claim that protection over our own lives. I'm in hearing all kinds of stuff, you know. You don't even have to, putting a mask on your face, it's not going to do you any good. You know, there's this virus they have, it travels in the air. People who are on these ships, they're breathing the same air, it goes everywhere. That's why they get infected. And on the plane, going on a plane, traveling far away, 8 hours, and breathing the same thing, that guy just spitting out, sneezing out, whatever. It's going everywhere. It could live on certain things for a little bit, but not for you, because God says it won't get on you. But it's not automatic. You have to claim these things. You have to begin to say, I trust God. I'm believing that. Let's go ahead and close with now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can live in peace tonight. We can go home and be at peace. Let's go ahead and stand up, everyone. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise that we can come to the secret place of the Most High God. We can rest tonight. We can have peace. We can have joy. We can have safety. So we thank you, Lord. We're so grateful tonight that we have peace. We can be at peace no matter what happens around us. So we claim tonight. We say to you, Father, you are my God. You are my fortress. I'm protected when I'm in this fortress. Nothing can get at me. And I'm in the secret place of the Most High God. Nothing will hurt or destroy. For our family, our friends, nothing's going to attack me. And some people are afraid that it's going to attack their finances. And this time, nothing's going to hurt you, your physical body, your family. So, Father, we say you are our God, and we make you our God. If you're not, if you're here tonight, if you haven't come to God, you just say, God, I want to be one of those. I want to come to you. I want to be saved. I want to be your Lord. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. So I'm asking you right now, in Jesus' name, come in my heart. Save me, Lord. Or if you've been away from God, just say, Lord, just forgive me right now where I am. Forgive me. I'm going to walk with you. And I will not have any fear. No fear here. So we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can go to bed tonight, rest assured that you are our God, that we are in the secret place of the Most High where no foe can attack us. So we give you praise. Everybody lift your hands and begin to thank God. We give you praise. Oh, we lift up holy hands as a sacrifice of praise. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we are protected. We are safe in the hands of the Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Masadikiri masato maladisi. Imrikiso makasanda iri masatokoma. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are wonderful. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Praise God.